welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Football Podcast. What? New name. Yes, we changed our name just slightly. It's still the same show, same me, same Matt, same drops.
I'm just here so I won't get fined.
Same producer, Brett, very quick on the uptake as always. But we are very excited to announce that on the same day we're changing our name, we're also launching a new podcast. Do we have a drop for that, Brett?
It's not a basketball podcast.
Cool. So. We're launching despite the LeBron James drop.
We could have had an air horn or something.
I don't have many baseball related.
What about just
drops?
You don't like.
Well, spoiler alert.
You're out.
What it was.
No.
Home run. None of that.
I'll clip that out. All right. Is it?
Home run. The new podcast, which we've introed just splendidly, is the Yahoo Fantasy Baseball Podcast.
LeBron James.
Why?
Not even like a boom or nothing.
I got what I got.
Don't you have that really
excuse me, language. Oh, language.
Your little, so that was what I was looking for. There we go.
Anyway, our very own Scott Pianowski will be joined every Monday by the likes of Dalton Del Don, who is no longer with us, not like in spirit, but just for the Fantasy Football Podcast. Andy Behrens, whose daughter just got into college. Good for him.
This is for Dalton. He's no longer with us.
He had a good run.
You guys, the synergy is really.
All right,
and
going.
All sorts of fantasy baseball experts from around the biz, that's what they call it in the biz, that's lingo, to have a not so serious, good luck, they're trying to spice up baseball talk, about fantasy baseball strategy, news, and how to win your never-ending league. The show premieres on Monday, March 4th, but you can subscribe right now. Just search Yahoo Fantasy Baseball Podcast in your podcast app of choice. And you know what? I was going to make another joke because obviously the football podcast is throwing shade at the baseball podcast, but it's unnecessary. But you know what? That's what like people want, right? They like want drama.
Want heat.
They want conflict. They want debate. They want pillows when they're listening to a podcast like that.
Yeah. I mean, they want like to know when Dalton and I are going to box or Andy and I are going to box.
Yeah.
I'm not taking Scott, though. I think Scott could beat me up, maybe.
You guys, is there going to be a lot of DH heat?
Yeah, that universal DH option's kind of been floated out by Manfred recently.
What?
Honestly, I
what
think
are you talking
honestly,
about?
Designated
get...
hitter? What?
Oh,
who knows
on.
More than one sport? Yo,
me.
Not me. I'm not claiming to.
Queen Bee over here.
Honestly, as an NL person, I think they should get rid of DH. They should make universal no DH. They should go back to like 1907 rules.
And on next week's episode of the Yahoo Fantasy Football Podcast, we'll be discussing Ohtani.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Matt, by the
what
way, is
the
just
hell
like pounding
are you guys
shit.
Talking about?
All right. You know what? You're coming for the football, but we're going to make you wait even longer. What? Harmon and I are going to talk about the Oscars because it's this weekend. Who you got, big man?
Two things I'm an authoritative expert on so far on the podcast. Baseball and movies. No, I've seen.
All right. Let me just give you a supporting actor. Your options are Mahershala Ali, Green Book, Adam Driver, Black Klansman, Sam Elliott, A Star Is Born, Richard E. Grant, well, Can You Ever Forgive Me, and Sam Rockwell Vice. Just pick one.
Here's the problem. I've only seen, for like just in terms of Best Picture nominees, I've only seen two of these movies. So
okay, but Matt, the Oscars are not like April draft season. You don't have to grind all this tape. You just kind of pick someone who's got the prettiest dress, who has the most dashing bouffant hairstyle, and then you go. Nobody in America seen these movies.
Yeah, really? I mean,
I've seen all of them.
Brett,
all
right, Brett. Of course you have. Did your girlfriend get the WGA screeners? I got some WGA beef for you, by the way.
Oh, let's
we'll
talk
take
about
that
it
offline.
Off pod.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen Vice. That's on here.
Oh, you have? Good for you.
I was a great movie.
Yeah. You want to go hunting?
No. I'll go with Mr. Ali, though, because I've been enjoying his work in True Detective, which is not related to this. So.
He is an awesome actor. There's some drama behind the Green Book production in general. We won't get into that here.
Don't know about that.
A little
that.
Too sticky. But I would tend to agree with you. If I were doing a ballot this weekend, I would also pick Mahershala Ali as well. Supporting actress, Amy Adams, Vice. Marina de Tavira, Roma. I think Roma's got a shot, by the way, like Cuaron is no joke. Regina King, if Beale Street could talk, she won the Golden Globe. Emma Stone, the favorite, yawn. Rachel Weisz, the favorite, yawn.
Was the favorite not good? Was it not favorable?
True story. I hear it's fantastic, but it's like a period piece, so I automatically want to go to sleep.
All right.
This is great.
I'm going to go. I thought Amy Adams was great as Dick Cheney's wife in that movie.
Stop talking about the Vice. It's the only movie you've seen.
Yeah, I know. So
I'm Matt Harmon. I've seen two movies this year, Vice and the Transformers one with the Bumblebee.
It was Black Panther that I've seen.
Oh, that's nominated.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Those are the two movies that I've seen from this group. I'm not going to go see the damn Transformers movie. Are you kidding?
I thought Bumblebee looked good. I'd see that.
No. This is.
I saw What Men Want last week.
I thought when I escaped all those dorks at NFL Network, like Alex Gelhar and Marcus, or little movies, cinema, blah blah blah. Well, but I finally get away from this talk, and now I'm still trapped in this.
We're not like entertainment has never been's. I don't know what I want to say.
Correct.
There,
you're
future,
right.
But future will be's.
Right? No, I don't have no desire to be in the movies. So you know, yeah, I'd rather be on TV.
I'm sticking to YouTube.
Oh, right. All those fishing, all those fishing videos, cooking videos. All right. Lead actor. Just pick your guy. No. You want to go with Christian Bale and Vice, right?
Well, I mean, come on. That was an incredible performance.
Yeah. I mean, that his metabolism must be insanity. Like, how much fen is that guy throwing down to like get in and out of shape? It's like a series of like Fentramine and then donuts. Fentramine, donuts.
I mean, he became Dick Cheney. He was a dead ringer for Dick Cheney in that movie. It was unbelievable. So, yeah, he's going to get my vote again here. Although I do like Willem Dafoe, though I don't know what this movie that he's in.
I think politically Bradley Cooper is going to win for A Star is Born because he wasn't nominated for Best Director, but the film was nominated for Best Film. And that seems a little bit like the Academy's doing some nonsense. So I think that Bradley Cooper might end up winning it, not because he deserves it for this thing, but for another thing.
Did you see Bohemian Rhapsody?
Oh, God, no.
I heard it was terrible.
Oh, God. Bryan Singer is a horrible human being. Let's just, like, he is.
Irregardless of
that's
the...
That's not
the,
a word.
Well, really? Regardless.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm only a producer. What do I know? Regardless of the social issues surrounding Bohemian Rhapsody and Green Book, those movies are just trash. Like, just as movies, if you watch them in a vacuum.
Ooh, that's a hot take.
If you watch them in a vacuum and, you know, you even throw away the fried chicken thing with Green Book, you throw that stuff away. It's still a very bad movie.
That's
Bohemian Rhapsody. Like, I did an episode of The Rush where I was like, who's seeing this movie? And all the bros on the production team for The Rush, usually hosted by Jared Quay Campbell, in fact, were like, what? You don't want to see like the story of Queen? And I was like, no, man. Like, I go to a hockey game and I hear that song. Like, I don't, that's it for me.
I like Queen as a band, but
I mean, it's so like after, everybody like likes Queen.
Yeah. After you see
everybody likes Queen, but I'm not like, they're not like my favorite band that I need like a deep dive
everybody
on.
Everybody likes
them.
Queen because of Wayne's World. Nobody actually likes sitting back listening to that. That's also a bad take.
They've got good songs. Sure. Brian May is a good guitar player. That's why I liked them, because I played guitar growing up.
If you see the movie Bohemian Rhapsody, you still have not seen the story of Queen.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
that's,
well, it was supposed to be the Freddie Mercury story starring, that one who was married to Katy Perry.
Ally G.
I thought
Sasha Baron Cohen was doing it.
Oh, was it him?
While,
I thought it was the other guy.
It fell through. I don't know. Who was married to Katy Perry?
Russell Brand, the sex
baby. Oh, yeah.
I
guess that was another one. There have been multiple
Freddie Mercury projects. It was like the Freddie Mercury story and everybody else in Queen.
Yeah.
Who I don't know because nobody knows about everybody else. It's like Maroon 5 is really just Adam Levine and some guys.
Hey, I have a take. Best original score, definitely Black Panther. That was a great, great album.
Absolutely. Let's just do lead actress because we did the men. So
I thought we said, oh, we did side actress. I don't know.
Actress. I'm sure they feel great about that. I'm just going to say Glenn Close, who won for The Wife. I hear the movie itself is not that great, but her performance is absolutely stunning. And she also won the Golden Globe.
You know, when you're on an airplane.
I haven't seen any of these.
You know, when you're on an airplane and you watch someone watching a movie.
Yeah.
On their screen, I watched someone watch The Wife.
Creepy.
And yeah, she appears to act throughout that film. But, you know, after watching it like over someone's shoulder, I have no idea what that movie's about. And I hope Olivia Colman gets it. She's awesome in The Favorite.
Oh, okay. You seem to really like The Favorite. Maybe I should give it another shot. I do have the screen.
Did you watch it? You
no,
didn't watch it?
No, I was like, weird. I see Crowns, not, and I'm like, I'm out.
It's not like a funny duddy period piece. It's weird and funny.
Can you please cut out? Like, can we clip out that like, ooh, Swedish chef impression?
It's weird and funny.
Okay. It's quirky.
Yeah, it's not like... you know, Shakespeare in Love. I guess that was weird and quirky too.
Oh, that
Never
was
mind.
Lovely though.
That was different.
That was like young Gwyneth and Ben Affleck and everybody was still comparison. Like thin and before they had goop and alcohol problems. Let's talk about last thing, best picture. I'm going to go with Black. I would love to see Black Klansman win, but I don't think it's going to. I think Black Panther has a shot.
Oh, I'm, you know, you guys know I'm going Vice. Come on. It was a good movie.
And then
very, very relevant for our times.
I wouldn't mind seeing Roma win and just like being the spoiler.
I have one final question for Matt.
Wait, I want to know think for Best Picture.
I think Roma will win.
You do, Cuaron. Yes.
I think overall it's kind of a weak year for movies. If the top three contenders are Roma, a movie, which I think is fine. It's a little.
It's at least brave. It tells a story that no one else is telling.
I think it's telling that this movie is essentially free on everybody's TV and iPads and computers and phones, and nobody has watched.
That has more to do with the film industry.
But it's available. Everyone has Netflix for the most part. Holler if you don't have Netflix. At me, bro.
I mean, I would have voted for Dumplin. Dumplin was good. Anything with J.A. in it, woo!
I think Roma will win. I don't think Green Book or Bohemian Rhapsody
will.
No,
there's too much drama surrounding.
Unless, like, because the voting is weird, because it's sort of like a tiered vote. You have to rank all the films in order. So something that gets, like, mostly fourth place votes could win Best Picture. It's complicated. I don't know. I just want to ask Matt. For best makeup and hairstyling, I just want to get your thoughts.
Sure,
there's
yeah.
Border, mm-hmm. a movie I've never heard of, Mary Queen of Scots, and Vice. I just want to see.
I mean, look.
What your opinion is on that one.
I mean, if you see Vice, I mean, they really transformed Christian Bale into.
I believe you said dead ringer.
Look, I saw the movie with my dad when he was out here, and that was when he leaned right over to me. Like, every character just. Dead ringer. Like when obviously with Christian Bale and Dick Cheney's like dead ringer, and then
Colin Powell.
Condoleezza Rice pops on the screen, whoever's playing her, and he's like dead ringer.
That movie magic. Wow. Well,
I love the thing. I never go to see movies, but I should because I get to combine three of my favorite activities. When you go
We've
to a
talked
movie
about this,
but
Tell
the
them.
Listeners
Tell
haven't
them.
Heard us, haven't heard it. One, I get to be left alone for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah.
Number two, I get to drink a beer in the middle of the day. And number three, I get to cheat on my diet by eating popcorn and M&Ms.
So I told Matt that he should babysit my son for that 2 hours. Like, he should take my son to a movie and I can like go shopping. And two of the three will still happen. Like, my five-year-old will definitely eat all the popcorn and M&Ms with you.
Yeah.
You can drink your beer. He'll be thrilled to have a water. He's not allowed to have juice and he doesn't know it exists, so it's okay.
I can't give him a beer? Come on, he's 5 years old. Grow up, kid.
He calls that daddy juice.
Nice.
He will ask you a million questions.
Right, so I won't be left. Because that first one's kind of important.
All right, but so we were talking about the Oscars. Shockingly, a name that did not appear among best actors or best performance is Antonio Brown, because this drama king is having a moment.
He's hamming it up.
Yeah, it appears that his time in Pittsburgh is over. He met with the president.
He met with the president of the team.
And listen, he's just. He's done. He's done. I think he realizes the killer bees are dispersing. It was reported that the organization will only let Antonio Brown go if it works mutually, meaning they were not going to, quote, give him away. They need some draft picks. They need some capital. You, Matt, are skeptical.
I am skeptical of this. And it basically comes from what the team has said. Jeremy Fowler, the Pittsburgh ESPN reporter, tweeted out, the Steelers' stance on Antonio Brown: won't take discounted rate on a trade, but they won't release him. The relationship is not beyond repair if they can't get good draft picks for him. By no means, and then quote, by no means are we going to make a trade or any type of move that will not be beneficial to Pittsburgh Steelers organization. Now,
don't you think that's posturing for good offers, though?
Well, yeah, for sure. But especially because he, like, as you say, he's not done himself any favors, like to not turn teams off. Although I have a theory on that. Do you ever, I kind of think part of me does, like, this is a grand view topic with the NFL that I think, like, the NBA, this is my hot take on basketball. I think the NBA, like, is as popular as it is, not because the product is great.
But because the people. Because
the people, yes. The drama, the storylines, all of that is insatiable, and it's addicting, like, to follow all that. Exactly.
And it's based on the individual. Right. Which is...
It's based on the individual, and I think maybe this is all... One big, I mean, this again, total conspiracy theory. Maybe this is one big ploy by making Antonio Brown, or as you know, he wants to be called Mr. Big Chest.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah.
Making
Mr.
Big Chest.
Big Chest.
Making Big Chest
Who
a.
Do you think you are?
Making That's him more of thing. A just an individual figure beyond just the team or anything like that. I think it could be a ploy on that, but that's a total conspiracy theory.
Yeah, NFL is so, even down to the uniforms, like, it is about the star, right. Anonymity, the team, no star.
Exactly.
Nothing shines brighter than the
star. But that's not beneficial to the players, and I also think it's bad for the game long term.
Well, right now, it's still the most high, it's the most popular game in the world.
Right. Like, again, this is, when I say this is a problem for the league long term, I mean, like, very small, minuscule, because football's still going to crush it and all that. Yeah, I'm not.
Shareholders, like, got to eat, though, so.
For sure. But I think just in terms of the players and their long term viability, you know, this is a guy who's, he was on the damn Masked Singer thing. Like,
yeah,
he wants
the
to
hippo.
Have, he wants to have a life beyond football and
dude,
all that.
He's been on Shark Tank. He's
right.
Got eye slides. He lands in. He wants to be a star.
And good, you know, good for him. Whatever. But when it comes to football, I think there's a decent chance he's still taking a Pittsburgh Steelers uniform in Week One, or at least I don't think it's 100% given that he's gone. Again, if they're not going to get, like, if you don't get a first round pick in return for him, what are you doing? He's still the best receiver in the league to me. I mean, I've been watching this guy lately for reception perception. He's open all the time.
Sure.
He's a total difference maker. That Steelers offense is going to take a massive hit if he's not there. And their window is rapidly.
Yeah, but they haven't been able
closing.
To capitalize on the talents of these killer bees anyway.
Right.
Like, it hasn't happened.
Because
so.
Frankly, I think that, I mean, what's all coming up with Brown here too is, I think, a larger problem,
cultural issue
Pittsburgh.
Within the organization. Yeah. They need a mom. Yeah.
They need a mom. Their quarterback is a nightmare. Their GM basically said, like, I mean, all the other players should be looking to Ben as an example,
oh,
or whatever.
Christ.
Which, yeah, right. Anyways, so I think the odds are probably favorable that he's not there, but it is far from a guarantee.
So I don't think he's going to be there. I appreciate this take, but I just think there's so much damage that has been done. Even if they do take him back, or he agrees to go back, or there's some guaranteed money, more guaranteed money thrown at him, I just feel like it's such a disaster. And it's also just a PR gaffe, although come like October, everyone
Nobody's
will have forgotten
gonna care.
About that.
No one will care.
The only thing that has me really buying into it is the fact that this wide receiver market during free agency is so thin. They're all slot receivers, right? Like, people are like, where's Golden Tate going to go? And I was like, he's a slot receiver.
It's like Tyrell Williams, John Brown, and then
Golden Tate.
That's it. I'm talking about not slot guys.
Right.
It's like,
there are no vertical receivers.
Can you talk yourself into Devin Funchess again?
I don't know. Like, what are we doing here?
Baltimore, Cincinnati, Cleveland all have need. I don't think that Pittsburgh's going to deal them within the division.
They've
as much as I
as
would
much.
Love to see that. I do think, and then if you Google where will Antonio Brown go, the first team that pops up are the Packers. Mm. Because apparently Stephen A. Smith and Colin Cowherd.
What are we doing referencing
masters,
them on the podcast?
All think that Antonio Brown either should, could, or would go to the Green Bay Packers. Give Aaron Rodgers his guy. I mean, that's just like a load of eye rolls. I think San Francisco is still the most likely of these teams. They have a high, with the second overall pick in the draft,
yeah,
right?
Which they won't trade that, but I could conceivably see them sending their high second
they
round
have
pick
a quarterback.
Plus more. Yeah.
They spent a bunch of money on a running back that Shanahan believes in. I think that last year, injury and conditioning had a lot to do with their lack of success. They're not that many pieces away from contending.
No. I don't think so either. I think
that John Lynch is a madman. Like, I don't know. I think he could do it.
I also think he's probably a little bit on the hot seat because a lot of his free agent moves have not worked out. Yeah, that
Garcon move didn't work out.
Several others. And Richard Sherman's been a good signing. But, yeah, I could see them.
Wouldn't you love to see Richard Sherman and Antonio Brown on the same squad?
I think that would be fun. I think that, I mean, they're probably a good favorite to sign Earl Thomas away from the Seahawks, which would, again,
Dallas
be interesting.
Unless Dallas gets in there like that narrative from last year.
Yeah. I do love the Green Bay landing spot. Obviously, it'd be great to see one of the best receivers to ever do it play with one of the best quarterbacks to ever do it. I mean, that would be incredible. They already have a true number one receiver in Davante Adams, but I mean, we saw Antonio Brown and Juju both be 160 target
guys.
But
Antonio Brown needs to go somewhere where he's guaranteed a high percentage of not just the targets, but the red zone targets.
I guess I don't know that I really buy all that. Mm. I mean, some of the stuff about him being like upset that Juju's team MVP, I don't really buy into all of that. Brown is, as much as he might be a pain in the ass, like, he's one of the hardest workers in the NFL. And
which is why he believes he deserves the touchdowns.
Yeah, and why I think he probably doesn't want to play with the current quarterback that he's playing with. But that's a side story. Anyways, I think Green Bay's a landing spot simply because they have two first-round picks. They have the Saints from last year. They could deal maybe their early one and still get it done. I think their one, the Colts have a lot of draft picks and a lot of cap room, even if Colts fans will constantly tell you that Chris Ballard won't make that kind of culture move. At some point, you got to try to win, and you have such a wealth of resources right now. I think this is a time to go for it. But San Francisco, I do think, is the favorite.
All right. So I'm doing this series of the 10 most interesting players. Edition number four, installment number four, about Robert Foster, Bills wide receiver, entering his second year, undrafted free agent out of Alabama, spent most of his college career in the shadow of Calvin Ridley, which is why his production numbers, one might argue, are pretty low. That just posted today to Yahoo Sports, or as Matt likes to say, the website. Very specific. Today, if you want to check that out, it'd be great. I talked about Nick Foles, or wrote an article about Nick Foles that posted on Monday, Robert Foster today. To me, the exciting thing about Nick Foles, I don't know if it's so exciting, but can this backup quarterback, who is clearly drinking his own Kool-Aid, be a true number one? He wants to be. He thinks he should be. Most likely going to land in Jacksonville. And as for Robert Foster, he really did flash down the stretch of last season. The team's only vertical threat. He didn't have the same. Actually, last four games of the season, after Calvin Benjamin had been released, he was out-targeted by Zay Jones, the team's theoretical number one receiver, by 8 looks, and yet was wildly more productive, had back-to-back 100-plus yard outings. Bunch of touchdowns in there, too. I think 3 over his last 5, I want to say. Read the article. That's got all of the
on
the website, yahoosports.com. And I don't know. I'm moving Robert Foster up in my rankings, but I'm not quite. Here's my prediction. I feel like come OTAs, off-season workouts, there's going to be beat writers. He's going to flash a bunch. There's going to be all of these articles in July, like the slowest month of the year for all sports. There's going to be all of this talk about Robert Foster, and then slowly his stock is going to start to climb, and I'm not going to feel as good about getting him at a value.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how high he can climb. As you mentioned, was a great deep threat last year. 43.2% of his yards came on throws of 20-plus yards downfield. So, I mean, he was a verifiable great deep threat, which is a lovely fit with one Josh Allen. I think it's a
20 yards per reception.
Yeah.
That's number one.
Yeah, and these like big play threat fast guys, you know, and slot receivers always shine in OTAs. So you're right to say that I'm sure he's going to get a ton of hype. That is an interesting one to monitor, especially if Buffalo doesn't make a ton. I think they need to prioritize building up the offensive line more so than beefing up their receiver core. So if they spend a lot more resources on that and just kind of roll with Zay Jones and Robert Foster playing big roles again, they definitely have to add at least another body. But that Robert Foster could be a nice sleeper. But Nick Foles, I mean, we continue to talk about Nick Foles, and I really see the options for him as very limited at this point.
He wants to go to New York. That's not likely, because I just don't think the Eagles are going to do that intra-division deal.
I think they're going to end up letting him walk into free agency.
At the Eagles.
Yes. Yeah. At this point. Right. But
absolutely.
But at this, but what, then they don't have any say on if he wants to go sign with New York. But we'll talk about New York in a second. Like, yo, why would you want to go to that trash heap? But we'll save it. Beyond New York, though, I don't think Miami is going to get into the free agent quarterback business. We've talked about the
organic
free range tanking thing several times. I think Jacksonville is like far and away the only really realistic option for him to A, get signed as a starter, B, go to a place that's ready to win, and C, get paid. I think that's really the best looking option right now. I mean, we can always be surprised, but it feels like the options are limited.
I did a poll and most people believe him to go to the Jaguars from a fantasy perspective. I obviously prefer him to go to New York because of the weapons at his disposal. I just don't think he's going to be relevant in Jacksonville because Dante Moncrief is a free agent and he's the only, I think, receiver that would fit Foles' game, frankly. And I don't, and he's on a 1-year prove it. He didn't really prove it last year.
Nope.
So I don't think he'll be back.
$9.5 million they gave him.
As much as I like Dede Westbrook, I just don't think that Dede Westbrook and Nick Foles are a match for what the each other does best.
Kind of similar to Nelson Aguilar in a way. I don't really see Nick Foles as being.
They're no tight end there either.
No, they have a lot of work to do. And once they sign Foles, they want to have a lot of cap space to do it with guys on the defense.
And he needs one of those like 50, big receiver 50-50 who can catch.
Type guys. Yeah. I don't know. I don't see Nick Foles being relevant anywhere he goes really for fantasy. I mean,
well, then let's talk about irrelevance and the Giants because you have an offseason series.
Yeah, I do. Continuing in the most pressing questions situation, we're talking about the NFC East today. How exciting. We actually just did a video about this, Liz, that I don't know if old Ravi put that up on the website yet, but I love the website. This is fun. So the Giants. Obviously, I think their most pressing question is, what the hell are we going to do at quarterback? It sounds like we're getting ready for another Eli Manning season, which is ridiculous to me because, Liz, I tweeted out our video we did from the quarterbacks discussion that we had yesterday, the live debate on Twitch of who's worth their salary or whatever. Somebody had the audacity to ask me, what has Rivers done that Eli hasn't done? I mean, easy reply is actually be a good quarterback over the last 5 years. So I don't know what we're doing here with the Eli Manning thing, but I think they're going to roll him back out there. And at that point, I think what New York can do is bring Eli Manning back, but they still have to address the quarterback position in the draft. They have to. If they don't get a young quarterback, I think they're totally banged. I mean, and also, you know, there's the whispers you want to talk about them trading Odell Beckham. They're just like Landon Collins is cleaning out his locker room. I think Dave Gettleman is a clown, and I think we're seeing more proof of it. I have no confidence in this franchise at all as we sit here right now. I don't know why Foles would want to go there, frankly.
I think Foles just wants to go there because the New York media would help his profile. I don't think going to Jacksonville
and then
is
slaughter
like
slaughter him after 8 games of.
Yeah, but he believes in himself. I don't think a guy like Nick Foles, who's a proven successful underdog, believes that he cannot, with all of the things that help him succeed, not do that. Right? Like there's an ego take
except
here.
Except when he went to the Rams. But I mean, yeah, no, I get it.
I think it's hard to be a competitor and then also.
I get it.
Right.
I get it.
Thanks. I think the most interesting thing here is the OBJ story.
There's no way they trade him. Like from a financial perspective, how can they will take a huge.
But you're assuming rational thought.
Right.
And like, when have the Giants been rational? There's a lot of weird holes on this team. Maybe he's a pain in the butt. He can't stay healthy. They just signed him to a 5-year, $90 million deal. I don't know if they're like, all right, we're going to stick with Eli. So we're probably not going to win anything anyway. Let's just organically tank.
Cool. Great number 2 overall pick last year in a running back that doesn't matter. And you would just want to be bad for the remainder of his rookie contract.
I think it's bad money. But I also like, here's what no one's talking about. What is the main objective of what does every team want the most? Every team owner wants to do what?
Make money.
How?
I don't know.
Fran, you want to sell gear and tickets. Giants ain't never going to stop selling gear tickets.
No, well, yeah, I know.
Doesn't matter. They don't need to win.
This is the great problem of the NFL. Yes. And now we can really go down a rabbit hole here is that, you know, people are always like trying to assume that they're going to win. But I mean, not all these teams are trying to win because they really don't have a financial incentive to. Like, outside of a small handful of teams, you will always print money. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Even
the PCLs at Giants Stadium are sold out. It's not a problem.
Even if people stop going to games, all the money is shared. It's a shared revenue system, and most of the money is coming from TV contracts anyways. So you can stop selling out your damn stadium, and it doesn't even matter.
Sure. There's that, too. I mean, here's the thing. In the New York market, no one's going to abandon the Giants.
Right.
The franchise has a history.
Exactly.
Owned by NFL royalty.
Wake up, sheeple.
So if Gettleman is tired of OBJ, he doesn't really need to hang on to him.
I mean, I don't know why these teams want to be trading, you know, some of the best wide receivers in the NFL that are actual true difference makers. But, you know, that's their thing, not my thing. Let's all just remember, though. I mean, obviously, there's a rumor that the Patriots were hot and heavy after him last year. And then Jay Glazer, this all really started because he made a bold prediction. Which,
right. Not.
Not report. I mean, right. And Glazer does. He's very plugged in.
Yeah.
So I mean, he would say it. We wouldn't say it without some small reasoning. But you know, this wasn't like this is definitely going to happen. It's a bold prediction. Like Liz, how many times do we fart out bold predictions just to be saying something?
Right.
Many. By us doing it, I mean someone that we are reporting to makes us bold predictions. They click well. See, we're talking about them. All right, let's move on. Washington.
Ugh. I mean, do we need to spend much time?
You're right.
Time
I mean, the pressing question is, are we banged at quarterback? And the answer is yes.
I think beyond quarterback, they're banged everywhere.
Yeah.
I did a little deep dive on the Washington team. They are banged on defense. Defensive end Ryan Kerrigan, he's 31. Who else is behind him? Purnell McPhee? That dude ain't coming back.
Preston
he's a free
Smith
agent.
Is a free agent.
Right. They have nothing defensively. No edge rushers at wide receiver. You've said it plenty of times. Josh Doctson, a bust. Despite his incredible vertical score at the combine, which I will never forget. You know, that's how I knew I was pregnant with my second daughter. I mean, my second child, my first daughter, because I was watching TCU tape, and I kept watching Josh Doctson tape and like falling asleep. Like, why? I love this player. Like, why am I? He's so electric. Why do I keep falling asleep? And then I did some easy math and I was like, oh, God, am I pregnant? So thank you, Josh Doctson.
Well, at least he has that to hang on his list of accomplishments.
Crowder's a free agent, and there's no number
Paul
one.
Paul Richardson, they gave him a terrible contract, and he's hurt
and
again.
He can't stay healthy either. Yeah. I mean, this is...
screwed.
No, thank you.
Well, and Jordan Reed could be a cut candidate, too. And sure. Then really, what do they have going on?
Chris I would Thompson? Love to see them on Hard Knocks.
Why? They don't have any interesting players.
Because there's just going to be so much anger and heat and, like, trying to make something out of the squad. Like, I don't know, the Darius Geis situation might be interesting if AP comes back. I think they are just such a garbage fire. Is that what we call it?
Dumpster fire.
They'd be kind of cool to see on Hard Knocks.
Yeah, I guess.
Also, my husband is a Washington fan, right, so I'd be happy for him.
Oh, sorry. In terms of what they do, like... I mean, they have to sign a veteran quarterback. I think this is a good spot for like a Tyrod Taylor, Ryan Fitzpatrick type. Also, I think, you know, Miami will sign whoever. I think those two players, one will go to Miami, one will go to Washington. And if I had to bet right now, I say Tyrod goes to Washington and Fitzpatrick goes to Miami.
Okay. Well, we'll hold you to it. Let's talk about the Eagles because
much more interesting. Eagles. How much of last year can we chalk up to injury? They were banged up in a lot of spots, and like their secondary took, you know, just a damn atom bomb to it. Their cornerback group is all wiped out. Ronald Darby, now a free agent, actually, after this. Their edge rushing group had injuries as well. Derek Barnett, their second-year pass rusher, he went out for the year. Now Brandon Graham is going to potentially be leaving in free agency. They have the least amount of cap space in the NFL, so they have to ask – just how much retooling needs to be done to this roster to get right back into contention. Because I still think they have one of the best young quarterbacks in the NFL. They have the remnants of an offensive line. But I think the skill position group is going to need a lot of work, too. I mean, there's a lot of questions to ask.
I think when we say how much of last year can we chalk up to injury, sure. In a vacuum that is 2018, a fair amount. However, the majority of players that went out with major injuries were all on the final year of their deals. So that complicates it, which I think is what you're saying. Right. Ronald Darby, Brandon Gaughan, yep. Right? The wide receiver situation was so bad that they brought in Golden Tate.
And then he's on
a,
out.
What, five game? He was on a five game prove it. What, I don't, however, like not even a full year. So he's going to be 31.
What a weird trade that is in hindsight, too. I mean, obviously, I think a lot of people pointed out like what they needed was more of a vertical threat. And then they got somebody who was kind of redundant with Nelson Aguilar in terms of
it. But Aguilar wasn't producing.
Right.
So.
In terms of at least deployment. But the strange thing about it is how he just completely disappeared under what I think is a good offensive coaching staff. And like, you know, oh, by the way, like, Tate was producing in Detroit. He wasn't like he was showing signs of decline. He was putting up good numbers in Detroit and goes to the Eagles and completely disappears.
But don't you think there's more to it than just, I mean, you specifically have talked about how a player changing teams in the middle of the year.
No, yeah, I know.
There's learning the playbook, getting situated into the culture. It sounds like there was a lot maybe going on behind the scenes that nobody knew at the time with what's coming out about Carson Wentz, right? Like, they were the Super Bowl heroes from last year. I don't know. I think that there was probably more to it than just, huh, this guy wasn't good anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
But for me, the most interesting, obviously the cornerback group is interesting, but I think from an offensive side of the ball, I want to see what they do with running back because they had brought Jay Ajayi. And that guy, he got banged, man, like tore his ACL and was just on a one-year deal as well. And now he like can't prove it because he was hurt had been the bone-on-bone knee thing that had hurt his draft stock and his payment for so long. And then the team barely used Josh Adams, the Notre Dame product, undrafted free agent who had been
Jamal
like
Jamal Adams, yeah, the guy who's, I mean, remember he like kind of started popping for a while.
Right, but they didn't use him at all in the postseason.
I said Jamal Adams. That's
it's Josh
Jets.
Adams. That's
the
Jets safety. Yeah.
Yeah. What an idiot.
So anyway, I'd like to see what they do at running back and it's a scheme that could be friendly to the running back position.
Well, yeah, so. I mean, it should be a good offense, so yeah.
Go on!
Last team in the division is the Dallas Cowboys, the NFC's champions, and I think their most pressing question is probably the most interesting of this group, and it's how will they navigate a salary cap situation that's about to look very, very different. I mean, think about their four best players. You could, outside of offensive linemen, you could argue it's Dak, Amari Cooper, Zeke Elliott, and DeMarcus Lawrence. Lawrence is going to hit the market this year. Theoretically, they'll franchise tag him, whatever. But they want to get a long-term extension done with him. Dak, whether we think he's worth it or not, they are going to extend him. He's probably going to be making $25-plus million this time next year. Cooper is on his last year of his deal coming into 2019. Zeke has 2 years left. Those guys are all probably cornerstones of their team. Can they retain all four? Which one do they prioritize, et cetera? And after that, we're not even talking about Jalen Smith on the defensive side, who's up for an extension soon. Byron Jones is up for an extension soon. They have a lot of problems to solve. And after having a clear strength in the offensive line for a while, that might be a group that starts to suffer here and there. So to me, I think that Dallas is fascinating to watch because not only are they going to have to start being one of these teams, is like they're, you know, the top heavy on the salary cap, as opposed to they've been kind of able to get away with cheap deals with Zeke and Dak and whatever. Now they're going to have to start filling in these holes with cheaper players. And who will those guys be?
They've got Van Der Esch. He's a young guy, so he's on a cheaper deal. To me, the interesting part of this, I know you think that DeMarcus Lawrence should be prioritized, correct?
Yes.
Just from a sound football sense, that would be the best choice.
And they want to, I mean, let's think, remember this too, the Dallas Cowboys, like they love to overrate their homegrown talent. Mm-hmm. And Lawrence is a great example of them actually being successful at that.
Yeah, but Zeke has been their most popular player.
Oh, look, Zeke is getting a laughable contract sometime soon. They're going to give him a hilarious, like way overvalued running back sort of deal, no doubt.
I feel like he is the priority from a culture standpoint.
Sure.
And then I could see DeMarcus Lawrence. I don't think they care enough about that. I mean, their DC, who was up for a lot of potential jobs.
Chris Richard.
Yeah. He's doing a great job. I almost feel like when a DC is doing, or any coordinator is doing a great job, they're like, yeah, he's good. He'll figure it out with these cheaper pieces. But they just fired Scott Linehan. So right now the offense is the shaky part.
And
so,
it's crazy. Their coaching staff right now is all three former Dallas backups. Jason Garrett, obviously head coach. Kellen Moore is their offensive coordinator. Guy was the backup quarterback like 5 minutes ago. And then John Kitna.
He went to Boise State.
Yeah, he's the weird looking short guy. He went to Boise State. Sorry, I'm not height shaming. And then John Kitna is our quarterback coach now.
Not height shaming? Hello, oh. I'm right here.
Sorry.
You're not a weird looking guy, Liz. No, thank you. That is a fair point. I think that understanding this team and having followed it, and I'm sure I'll get a lot of tweets now, the Cowboys organization is more willing to let the defensive pieces go and let Richardson figure it out than...
I'd be pretty surprised.
Do you think Byron Jones is going to get paid?
No, I mean, I think that I'm just Lawrence specifically, sure. If he's not back on a long-term deal, I would be surprised by it. But no matter what, even if they just franchise tag him this year, which he will be a Cowboy in 2019, I do think they're going to franchise him. Yeah, it's beyond that. But also, if they franchise tag him this year, that's the second year in a row. That's going to be a nice, big, hefty cap hit anyway. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it still applies to them making these contracts this year.
So we have a lot of thoughts. We have a lot of opinions. We like to give out a lot of advice. And people ask us about a lot of things. And to that end, I'm just going to tease it. That's what pros call it.
You know?
Tease. Next week, we're going to have a special announcement. So let's just let that marinate. Think of some advice you might want to hear from one Liz Loza and one Matt Harmon, both of which you can follow on social media at LizLoza_FF and or at...
Matt Harmon _BYB. You don't have my Twitter handle memorized?
I mean, I was just pitching it to you so that like you could...
Say something.
And maybe promote your own stuff. My God, I'm so sorry that I didn't just like drive the whole thing. Okay, Liz, do all the work.
Oh, please give me a break.
Anybody have any advice on how to deal with difficult people? Because I guess I could use some.
This is out freaking rageous.
You should also tweet us at Yahoo Fantasy and be sure to leave a rating and review of the Yahoo Fantasy Football Podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you think anybody was listening to this like Yahoo Fantasy podcast? Like, when are these assholes going to talk about baseball already? Well, now you know. Get out of here.
Many people play fantasy baseball.
And good
I mean,
for them.
Yo, where is Bryce Harper going to sign?
I don't know, but we'll talk about it.
On the other podcast, the Yahoo Fantasy Baseball podcast.
Come on. I'm doing my job here.
I'm antagonistic. I'm sorry. Okay. Is this podcast over?
We out.
It's over. Show's over.